Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hello and welcome to Women Lead Radio, which is brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Rebecca Massoud, your host for Savvy, Soulful, and Successful. This is a show for and about visionary women entrepreneurs who are here to speak their true message, shine their light in business, and amplify their income and impact for the benefit of all. Is it possible to live your dreams wholeheartedly and be a vocal advocate for racial equality and justice? Wanda Lee Stevens, our guest today, says an emphatic yes. And today she will share her personal journey to inspire us all to be bold, courageous champions for ourselves and for humanity. Wanda is a seasoned HR professional, a certified mediation facilitator, social activist, speaker, author, and a self-described recovering helicopter mom. And she obviously has a great sense of humor, too. So I am delighted to welcome Wanda to our show. We're going to be talking about finding your voice to live your dreams and stand up for racial justice. Welcome, Wanda.
Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, well, this is a dream come true to have you here with me today. So let's just start off talking about your fabulous memoir, 50 Years of Assimilation, which I have had the pleasure to read cover to cover. What inspired you to find your voice and write and publish this incredible story, your life story?
Well, thank you for the compliment. And it is my life story in the context of race. It's not my full life story. It's not everything that's happened to Wanda in the last 50 years, but it is a compilation of all of the events that occurred over time with me as a child, with me as a high school person, a college student, a young professional, and a young mother and family member. I wanted to share what the journey has been for me as a woman born in the 60s, as a black woman born in the 60s in Detroit, Michigan, and being what I call the first generation to inherit Martin Luther King's dream. So I felt like it was necessary for me to share what the post-civil rights story was about from an African-American female voice, because I hadn't seen many books about that, about me. The narrative for the black woman in America is, you know, the bottom of the rung, you know, the stereotype of Aunt Jemima or Jezebel or the workhorse or the angry black woman. I didn't feel like I fit into any of those stereotypes, so I wanted another narrative to be told about who we are, because there were so many brilliant, beautiful women like myself that I grew up with and around, and I didn't see their voices in print.
That's awesome, Wanda. I just find it so incredibly courageous. I mean, just to write a book, one, is an act in itself, and then to give voice to voices that you're saying that weren't really being represented.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's yeah. So your book is you know, just goes from you know, taking from Detroit to growing up there, and you come out to Northern California, and shares all kinds of experiences from the workplace to meeting your husband to friendships.
Buying a house in the neighborhood, yeah, crashing through white spaces.
Yeah, and on the back of your cover. Yeah, crashing through white spaces, exactly. The back of the cover says, 50 years of assimilation is not an African-American story or a black story. It's an American story. So share with us what that means to you.
Yeah, it is actually both and. It's both an African-American story and it's an American story, but in that statement, I wanted to present a reclaim of my Americanness. Like, we hear American and we think white American. And how did that happen? Like, why is that the norm? Why is that what, you know, America is first, and then everyone else is hyphenated, right? African-American or black American. I am an American. I can count back 5 generations on my mother's side and 3 on my father's side. And for, you know, new Americans to come over and claim more Americanness to me, it's kind of like a grind to my soul. I'm like, excuse me, we've been here as well, just as long and longer. And I am just as American as I am African American. So that was.
So, Wanda, both of us are part of that post-civil rights generation that was the first to experience this integration of blacks and whites in the U.S. As you've shared, you know, so personally in your book. Tell our audience, what has been your experience with integration?
You know, as I said, my generation was the first to have, quote unquote, free access to the country post-civil rights, to our own country, free access. And being that generation, we were able to, you know, get jobs in corporate America. We were able to get into certain schools and move into certain neighborhoods. Not all of them, but some of them. And having to experience, you know, them experiencing me and me experiencing them firsthand for the first time broadly and in various geographical places. And it was, you know, it was hard. It wasn't easy. It was something that came with a lot of precaution and even intimidation at times. But knowing, you know, who I was and who my family was and what our rights were, I was determined not to turn away in cases where even I felt somewhat fearful for my life. It was important for me to push past the fear, to make our claim and all of the Americanness and all of the rights and privileges that are, you know, given to us per our Constitution. My pursuit of happiness.
Yes, absolutely. And I know you have many stories, examples of places where you've pushed through the fear. Is there one particular anecdote that comes to mind that you would want to share here in our interview today?
Ooh, that's a hard one. There are so many. I don't know, I think navigating schools for your children was a real big struggle because the way we do America is, you know, the thing is they say to buy the worst house in the best neighborhood that has the best school so that your kids have the best chance for success. And when my husband and I thought that we had gotten to that place, the interesting thing was that most of the children in the neighborhood did not even go to those schools where those homes were. A lot of the families ended up putting their children into private schools as well. So we kind of defeated the purpose of the old adage, you either pay it in mortgage or you pay it in tuition. We were paying both. And
wow. But that was kind of a shocker.
That plus the fact that when my
when my son did go to our elementary school and there were things that weren't going really well, and I decided to pull him out in the fifth grade and half of the sixth grade and do homeschooling. At that point, through the program that we went to, you could select which school district you wanted to be a part of as a homeschool student. And, of course, we went for one of the ones that they rated a higher, the better school district. And when you received your supplies for the curriculum to be the home, not the teacher, but they called you the school manager or the homeschool manager, the curriculum was so much more than what the local public elementary school provided. And it included a full gamut of academia, including arts and science and science equipment. We got these huge boxes full of all of these things that weren't even provided in the public school setting. So that was one of the things that I thought was didn't make any sense, first off. Why won't our country want to educate its population equally? Like, why don't we want the best of every citizen? Why are we still in this constant grind of trying to make sure there's a lower class of people, an uneducated class of people? When, you know, the smarter we are, the smarter we are.
Absolutely. Well, you shared with me a story about opening up your bookshop, and I just see that as such a beautiful example of someone who is just fully out there living her dreams. And would you share a little snippet about how that came to be?
After I published 50 Years of Assimilation, I kept having friends and acquaintances that found out that I had done that, wanting to know how to do it. And after a few lessons, it occurred to me I could just formalize this and make it something that folks could come to regularly and pay me for, because it became time-consuming. And it's a lot of work. It's not easy. So once I created my systems, I started inviting friends to participate, and I did get a group of four women on the first round who had books that they wanted to finish, and it was a finisher book workshop. And on one of our scheduled meetings, the location that I was using in the library, the conference room, got double booked, and I wasn't aware of that and didn't see the email in time to adequately plan for relocation, and I didn't want them to come to my home, so I went literally in my car driving down the street, looking at retail spaces to see where I could fit people. And we have a small strip of small businesses in our waterfront area that is kind of a build, a live-work development. It's like a block long with shops on the bottom and condos on the top. And one of them used to be, first it was a skateboard shop and then it was a flower shop, and it had been vacant for at least a year at that point. And the realtor's sign was on the window for leasing, and he happened to be at the end of the block. So I walked in and I asked him if I could borrow the space. He wanted to know what's wrong, and I told him, and they said, sure, give me. And they gave me the keys, and I went in and saw what I had to clean up, and I ran home to get cleaning supplies. And I, my sister was visiting, and she offered to come help. And then on our way down, another neighbor had called to go for a walk, and I told her what I was doing, and she came over to help. And then at that moment, we were there inside the space, cleaning it up, probably about 35 minutes into it or 40 minutes into it. And I just got a vision. Like, I started seeing the shop unfold as a workspace, as a retail workspace for folks that wanted to finish their books. Like, you come in, was going to be a bookshop, and I actually gave it the name Book Your Life. And you'd come in and make the book of your dreams, whether it was a photo book or a memory book or an actual novel or a poetry book, whatever you had in your mind as the thing that you wanted to bind. And so I did that. I didn't have, at the time that all of this happened, my credit wasn't great, and my funds were low. I didn't have any real business, you know, startup funding. But I made a great offer for the lease, and it was accepted, and I got the space. And then the beautiful thing was my community came in to play and started assisting with the furniture and the equipment and supplies. I was, you know, gifted storage cabinets and office chairs and an office table and desks and a refrigerator. It was just beautiful. It was like a community space, and I loved that experience. Yeah.
Wow. What's your biggest takeaway from that experience?
From that experience? I would say just get out of your head, not get stuck at I can't do this. Like, you can do it. What is the solution? Somebody has it. It may not be you. It's real hard for folks to ask for help, but I find myself in that category a lot. But I do ask myself, why am I not asking for help? And then I kind of put the ego in check and keep moving.
I love that. Yeah. That's a great takeaway. Yeah, so I have had the honor and privilege to take your anti-racism workshop, which was incredibly eye-opening, deeply moving, incredibly valuable, educational for me on my journey of being an anti-racist. It's called The American Experience. And I would love for you to share with our listeners today just a little bit more about that workshop. Tell us what it is and why is it so essential for all Americans today?
I'm one of those writers that like to long win things sometimes. And so my book was called 50 Years of Assimilation, From the Midwest to the Wild West and all the blackness and whiteness in between. And the workshop evolved from that. And it's called The American Experience, as you said, but it's also the blackness, the whiteness, and ending the racism in between. And I'm actually that generation because we are the first generation to, you know, have civil rights. I am a lot of my white friends, I am their gateway black friend. Like, I'm their introduction into the black race. I get questions from my friends, if y'all listen and love me anyways, that I would think that this could go good in the class. I think if I get asked this question one more time, I'm going to start a workshop. Rather than doing it one-on-one, I thought it'd be better to help. A group impact, and also because given our current climate and what's happening in the world, you know, folks need to wake up. We need to lay down the racist hat and just start opening your hearts and minds and welcome people that don't look like you. This 400-year plague is too long. It's too long. We're wasting too much time and talent and energy on this made-up construct of race. And so if I can do anything to dismantle that via workshop, a book, or a one-on-one conversation, I feel like it's not only my duty, you know, if I think about my ancestors and what they had to go through, this isn't that bad. You know, as exhausting as it is right now, especially in the current climate, to still be in this conversation with people and to still have this, you know, this blockage of humanity. If I can do anything to pull more people on the other side of true freedom and true inheritance of, you know, our God-given right first and then our, you know, national right, then I'm going to do what I can do. We didn't make the mark for my kids because they're experiencing this climate right now, but hopefully their kids will have a different world. You know, we can't stop. It doesn't make any sense, you know. And if I die tomorrow, I would still want to come back as a black person. Like, I love being black. I love black people.
I love that.
even knowing what I know about how the world treats us, it's like there's it's just a beautiful experience, even still, you know.
Yeah. Wow, that's poignant, what you're describing. And, you know, we have very different experiences, the way we were brought up. And what you said, being the gateway Black friend, or I know you've described yourself as a bridge, really helping, you know, be that bridge. And that I've heard you say also that we can all be bridges and in various ways. And I also wanted to highlight your workshop, and you said it, was that it was an incredibly heart-opening experience. And what I found is that you made it so incredibly safe to be there, to express, to learn, to just to become aware of the biases that so many of us have. So that was just a phenomenal eye-opening experience for me, and in many ways, just the beginning of my journey. And as I've had my own big wake-up call this year, along with many, many others, and I know you've been living this for all your life. So thank you. Thank you. I just want to say a heartfelt thank you for this work that you're doing. And I would like to let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you, how they can sign up for your workshop, buy your book, which I highly recommend. All, attending Wanda's workshop, getting her book, all of it, and getting in touch with you. So how would you like our listeners to reach you after the show?
Well, first I want to say thank you as well for taking the workshop and trusting me enough to, play in that space and owning, your privilege and owning, that there's some responsibility to each one of us there in moving past this. So I appreciate your willingness to hear our stories and your willingness to step in and speak up. And I know that wasn't safe for you necessarily. And you mentioned some friends dropped off at the notion of you promoting me. So I appreciate you taking the risk and doing the work as an ally. So thank you for that. The next workshop is scheduled for Friday, October 23rd, and it's an all-day workshop. It's a Zoom online workshop. It starts promptly at 9 a.m., and it goes till 4:30 with an hour break in between the workshop. And then it is $147, and it includes the workshop materials, an autographed copy of my book, and a 30-day follow-up call to see how everyone's doing in their, pursuit of racial equality and the end of the eradication of racism. So I can be reached by a phone or email, and the number is 888-444-7552. I'll repeat that, 888-444-7552, or email me at info@wandaleestevens.com. My website is almost done. We didn't meet today, so I was hoping it would be ready, but wandaleestevens.com will be ready next week. But in the interim, you can email me at info@wandaleestevens.com.
Wonderful, Wanda. Great. So if you didn't quite catch that, those details will be in the show notes. This is going to go posted and will be there. So by the time someone's listening to it, maybe a week or 2 weeks later, your website's going to be all ready to go as well. So info@wandaleestevens.com. And then her phone number, 888-444-7552. That's a great number. Easy to remember.
Very easy to remember. It's my Book for Life number.
Ah, mm-hmm. Love
Go ahead.
It. Okay. Yeah. So October 23rd, highly recommend the American Experience workshop with Wanda. All right. So with the perspective of this incredibly historic 2020 year, Wanda,
mm-hmm.
what does your dream of freedom look like now?
Ooh. Wow. so there's a little bit of blockage in the way of that right now, given the year, even just today with Justice Ginsburg's memorial, another freedom fighter. And this week, you know, with Breonna Taylor's, you know, no charges, and also with the executive order from the administration about teaching racism in schools and in companies even. He's expanded the quote-unquote ban. So, I mean, the dream is love, right? The dream is that, you know, people understand and learn that folks are first individuals, right? We do know race as a construct. I really like how Ibram X. Kendi talks about race being the construct, in that there's nothing, I can attribute it. To be an anti-racist is to think nothing is behaviorally wrong or right, inferior or superior with any of the racial groups, the made up racial groups, I'll say that. Whenever an anti-racist sees individuals behaving positively or negatively, the anti-racist sees exactly that. Individuals behaving positively or negatively, not representative of whole races. To be an anti-racist is to de-racialize your behavior, to remove the tattooed stereotype from every racialized body. Behavior is something humans do, not races do. So for me, that's a good description of what the future could be.
Mm.
We need to get over this 8 pounds of casing that we are using to, you know, separate and divide.
Yes, yes. And that's just in case anybody didn't catch that. It's Ibram X. Kendi, and
mm-hmm.
he's the author of How to Be Anti-Racist.
Correct.
But, yeah. And I just, the love, seeing us all as humans and individuals, that's a beautiful, beautiful vision.
And I like human spelled H-U-E-man. It feels more inclusive to me. It's like it acknowledges the variation in color without making it a race.
Yeah. I love that. I've seen you do so. Hugh, H-U-E, human, and I've also seen you write humanity,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
showing that there's this incredible
beautiful
spectrum, beautiful rainbow of colors
that are representative of all the other species on the planet, right?
Yeah. So, Wanda, last question that's coming to mind, and just to go with our theme of today's show, is around living your dreams wholeheartedly and being a vocal advocate for racial equality and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say a final word about that and how you are continuing to live that in your own life? And words of inspiration for all of us.
Just more work, more workshops. I mean, everything we learned about how to be human and polite, we learned in kindergarten, right? That old book that just, you know, don't be racist. Say please and thank you. Make some new friends. Go places. Visit. Learn about others. Don't be so self-centered. And do good. Do unto others.
The golden rule.
It's really that kind of simple.
Yeah. The simplicity of the message. Yeah.
Erase those erroneous borders. You don't need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Wanda, thank you so much. I know the time flies, and we're at our
that was quick.
I know.
Are we done already?
Yes. Well, I want to just give you a final moment. If there's any final, you know, things that are there, words of wisdom that are coming to you to share, or just anything. I just wanted to open the last minute for you to say anything.
I would just say, be you. Be you. Be you. Don't be anyone else. Be you. Be you, and speak from your heart. But speak. Please speak.
Yes. Thank you. And you do that. You are such an incredible example, and you inspire me to be more of myself and to continue to speak up and speak from my heart. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Wanda.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. This was great.
So this is our show for today, folks. I want to say again a special thank you to you, Wanda, for being our fabulous leading lady guest today. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, both here in the U.S. And we will be back again for another Women Lead radio show Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific. It's been my total joy to be your host today. Thank you again, Wanda Lee Stevens. And thank you for listening to Savvy, Soulful, and Successful. I'll leave you with these parting words from the late, great Mary Oliver. You too have come into this world to do this, to go easy, to be filled with light, and to shine. And go be you, as Wanda says.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.